from short run, now we are moving to the long run. So when we talk about the behavior of long run, the problem, the limitation that is there in the short run, that the producer cannot go beyond the optimum use of fixed assets, is removed in the long run. See, in the long run, there is no such limitation of fixed factor. The company can expand its scale of operation, it can bring more assets, it can update its technology, it can send its employees for training, it can have new CEOs and so on. So what happens in the long run? In the long run, we have production expansion, business expansion. Let's understand, in the long run, scale of operation can be increased with addition to fixed assets to a most feasible extent. The long run is definitely somewhere based on the short run. So we are using a theoretical concept here. We say that the long run average cost is based on tangency of short run average cost. So the theory believes that if we want to understand the behavior of long run average cost curve, then that is only with the help of short run average cost. Okay, this long run cost curve is based on an assumption that the factor prices are not going to change. There is divisibility of factors. Okay, so company will have lot of point to select the best combination of the factors and output. But it's observed that even in the long run, the firms may face a U-shaped cost graph, which is given over here. So to understand the behavior of the long run average cost, we will see this diagram. Actually, this diagram is very self-explanatory, but I'll just help you out. We have a U-shaped long run average cost curve drawn. Now, why we say it is long run? Because it's like a saucer shaped, and the costs are given on the y-axis. So the cost is as high as $60 and it's come down to as low as $50, right? Now you can see that the cost graph is divided into three parts. The first part is where the average cost is falling. So when the average cost is falling, we say there is economies of scale. Then it reaches the level of output between 14 to 17 units. Between 14 to 17 units, we say it is the most efficient level of production because the firm has managed to bring down its diseconomies, okay, and it has increased its economies, and we say that it is at the lowest average cost. So it is making 14, 15, 16 and 17 units to as low as $50 cost. But after the 17th unit, its average cost starts rising from $50 to $51, $52, $55 and so on. This means that after reaching the efficient level of production, there are diseconomies experienced in the plant which are pulling up the cost graph. So this diagram you have to keep in mind, students, to understand the behavior of long run average cost. Okay, so now let's understand, students, about the behavior of long run average cost. In this diagram, you see, first thing we have written, it is the envelope of short run average total cost curves. The long run average total cost is an envelope of short run total cost or short run average cost. Now, your short run average total cost, it means that the companies, we have to look at the company's average cost of production in the short run. So that gives you SRATC1, SRATC2, SRATC3 and 4. So we have got the, you can say that we have got the 4 years cost data of a company that is manufacturing, let's say, mobiles. This is the long run average cost. So this is a 10 years cost graph of a company. Okay, and these are the short run, that means in the second year, third year or fifth year, wherever the company has managed to operate its scale of operation at least cost, we have got that cost and we have plotted it here. The company's short run marginal cost has been taken up because marginal cost means the company's optimum level of output. We have used this principle which we have learned in the short run, that optimal output is where the marginal cost intersects the average cost from at the lowest point. So it means that in the given year, when the company's average cost period 1, period 2, 3 and 4, in different years, the company has always selected and operated at the optimal level where its marginal cost has intersected the average cost. So from there, We will see what has been the company's cost. We will write the cost on the y-axis, and we will also check the company's output, and we will show and reflect the output on the y-axis ka x-axis ka scale. So here you will get output on the x-axis, and on the y-axis you will get the cost. Now what is the theory trying to tell us? What is this model trying to tell us? That the long run average cost is nothing but it is the plotting of all the short run cost, optimal short run cost that the company has operated over the years. Then out of this, once we connect the points, we will be able to understand which has been the most optimum cost of production output. So you will always select the point which is the least. So this shows the least. I think SRATC3. So the third one is at the falling path of the average cost in the long run. So this plant, this output has been considered as the optimum output. So students, long run average cost is a graphical representation of getting the optimal short run cost output data of a company, and from that trying to understand which has been the least cost output, so that we can understand what type of inputs were used to arrive at the least cost output, right? This can be used as a very standard benchmark for the company whenever it wants to make any internal changes within the plant to derive internal economies of scale. So the theory part which you had studied related to technology, manpower, commercial economies, so the company can see in this time period when they have got the desired output level, what were the fixed and variable factor combinations, and how those fixed factors which were a limitation can be replaced, so that in the long run, instead of a U-shape, the company can go for L-shape cost graphs. L-shape ka matlab hai, they have managed to bring down the cost to a lower level by bringing improvements, and now they are operating on the least cost for a very large span of output. So long run average cost, continuous technological improvement and innovations, such that the average cost get reduced with every new long run average cost curve. So average cost is reducing, and we say it is the result of the process of learning, because with experience, factors of production will be able to give more output at the same cost. The moment we use the word learning, we are talking about the skill of employees, the skill of labor. So over a period of time, when we have skilled manpower, we have experienced employees, and we have technological improvements, instead of U-shape, we may derive L-shape cost curves. This slide shows you how the long run average cost looks like when it is a L-shape. L-shape ka matlab hai, technological improvements, better manpower, skilled manpower, which is helping the company to manufacture a very large span of output by lowering its cost. In this, we have a component called learning, element of learning with experience, popularly known as the learning curve or the experience curve. This plays a very important role, especially at higher management positions, where experience of the manager plays a very important role. Therefore, you will find that many a times when we have companies who are recruiting or changing their CEOs, they are always looking for the experienced ones, because the learning curve effect can be utilized in the company. Economies of scales are shown in terms of this cost output relationship in learning curve. So learning cost is always related to minimizing the cost. It is called as the total cumulative output level for a single product, which is measured in this form. So this graph shows you that earlier the long run average cost for period T was LRACT, and then for time period 1 it is LRACT+1. So what has happened? With experience, the cost has come down. So when we have experienced people recruited in the company, they will always be operating on the lower LG, that is learning cost graph. because it's always found experienced manpower will lower the average cost of decision, especially decision making and implementation. This is again a very macroscopic diagram of the same thing, behavior of LAC, which is learning curve effect. So learning is manifested by downward shift of the LAC. So see the downward shift, increasing returns. The company was making 1000 output per month. Now because of the learning curve effect, they are able to bring down the cost. They are operating on the downward region and they are making 1500 units of output. So it is like a telecaller, like you have the call centers. So a new recruit will be able to attend 1000 calls, but with experience and training in the same time will be able to attend 1500 calls. So that shows the learning curve effect. Remember, companies are always looking for the learning curve effect found in employees, especially after training. If they don't find this learning curve effect happening in case of employees, then accordingly their promotions and their incentives which are linked with that will have a restriction. So it's very important that wherever you are working, and if you are going training, you are doing experience, then you have to see how much time you were taking to complete a task. Then after experience, how much time, in that same time, are you completing more work? So you have to keep a time management. So if you are doing a work for, let's say, in 4 hours, then after experience and training, in that same 4 hours, are you able to do more work? If yes, then you can show your own learning curve effect to your boss so that you can make them understand that because of experience, now there is a learning curve effect which the company will get from you, and accordingly it can be linked to your promotions. Finally, we are coming to one last part of this chapter, which is the cost of multiple products. We have studied about the various types of cost, the accounting cost and the economic cost. But we have one section called as cost of multiple products. This will be only when a company is making more than one product from the single raw material. Then we say that the company is using split off point. What is split off point? A single raw material but giving you alternative output. So this happens in case of crude oil. Okay, this happens in case of, let's say, animal skin and animal meat. That can be considered as split off point. Okay. The costs that are incurred in split off point are common cost. Okay, they cannot be traced to individual product. So split off point is very useful where the raw material is one, but there are diversified product from one raw material. So therefore, it's very difficult to know what is the cost of acquiring a particular product since the costs are commonly calculated. The problem of product costing arises because when there are common costs, it's very difficult to know what is the actual average cost of making a particular product. So the company has to classify the products. This problem happens in joint products. Joint products are when increase in output of one product will cause an increase in output of another product. So then we say they are joint products. Like for example, when you talk about petroleum, okay, or kerosene, you have two products which are connected in oil, rubber. If you have rubber and you have gel, then that again becomes a joint product. Alternative products is when you are increasing the output of one product, the output of another production is going to reduce. Okay, so from the sugar cane, if more sugar is extracted, okay, if more jaggery is made, then the amount of sugar that will be made will be comparatively. So the proportion of the products where there are two products, one and the other, if you are increasing one, the other will get reduced because you have used more of the raw material for making one product. These are called as alternative products. Byproduct is when one product is much less important than the other. It's regarded as byproduct. Okay. So when you talk about animal skin and animal meat, which is considered as more important? Is it the animal skin or the animal meat? So that way, companies are always looking in production. Costing has to be based on first understanding the nature of the product, especially when the output is derived, whether it can be classified into joint alternative or byproducts. Whenever we talk about production and cost, the companies are always looking for cost-cutting strategies, and that takes us to economies of scale. Today, when you look at the shopping malls, you find the multiplexes, they are all under one roof. You have so many different enterprises retail outlets together under the same roof. That is economies of scope. That means if the same plant can produce multiple products, then the company manages to save its cost. Economies of scope are becoming very, very popular now. Okay, they are basically like used like a garage and a petrol station. So under the same roof, you have the garage facility also, and you have the petrol station also, which is giving you petrol, diesel, and CNG. So this becomes economies of scope, clubbing too many related activities under one plant. I've taken one example over here for you for understanding economies of scope. It was Scotts, which is a company producing four wheelers from the same plant. So it has two wheelers, okay, as well as it's manufacturing four wheelers. So what the plant did, instead of increasing the scale of production, the firm now added newer products if the size and type of plant allows this scope. In this process, the firm will have access to scope economies in place of scale economies. So this is economies of scale or economies of scope. Economies of scale mein aap kya kar rahe ho? You are building up a new plant, but under economies of scope, in the existing plant only you are diversifying. So always remember this thin difference between economies of scale and economies of scope. In economies of scale, we are adding more of the resources, or we are building up a new plant. But in economies of scope, in the same plant organization, we are improving the capacity. So there is economies of scope, diversifying the products. Okay. Today, the economies of scale from internal, external that we studied in the previous chapter has moved to global level, and we have something called as international trade in inputs. Today, more and more products can be manufactured by international cooperations, having parts and components made in many countries. Okay, so why are companies outsourcing, or why the companies are sending their products for assembly in some other plant or in some other country? Because it is minimizing their production cost. So this is not economies of scope, because here the company is relying on some other company and some other country. So it is called international economies of scale. So today it's not just internal economies of scale, but we have moved to international economies of scale. That is capturing the specialization which is happening in countries, in other countries, which may lead to reducing our production cost. Here you have foreign sourcing of inputs is not a matter of choice to earn higher profits, but it's basically to remain competitive. So many a times outsourcing is becoming a part of competition. Firms then do not look abroad for cheaper inputs will face this competition. So today the companies are forced to be in competition with their competitors. They need to explore the international economies of scale, like acquiring raw material at a much cheaper rate from some other country. In India, labor is considered as one of the cheaper input for multinational companies, and they are already tapping this international economies of scale from India. The new international economies of scale has some pointers here which I've tried to put in. Firms must constantly explore the source, like I said, of cheaper inputs. Okay. The new international economies of scale can be all based on five basic areas. One is product development, purchasing, production, demand management, looking at the market demand, and all other fulfillments. So remember, students, that today what we studied in production of our economies of scale, in cost, we have included the international economies of scale, because that is going to have a direct impact on cost saving methods. With that, we have successfully completed this chapter of cost. Thank you.